Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
On this, the last day of the decade, we wish you Happy New Year. And today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. As we are in the process we're about 5 weeks away from finishing up our eighth year of doing this show, going into year nine. And now Matt Cotrillo is the one that bears the burden of working on this show.
But with great pleasure.
He says initially. Oh, my goodness. The original person that sat in that chair now is pulling his hair out in sales.
Something like that.
I can't believe it. Matt Limegrover is not going to have his contract renewed, and Penn State is in search now of a new offensive line coach. Matt did some good things here, no question. But James Franklin feels moving forward, he wants to have a change there. Thus, they will have a change there. And he made the announcement today. Penn State is on the cusp of some incredible things here. Let me put it this way. What has James Franklin accomplished in the last 4 years? Think about it. What don't people talk about anymore? People don't talk about Sandusky. They don't talk about sanctions anymore. You know, every once in a while I'll make a reference to it just historically as to how far they've come. But to have people talk now just about the football program, about the product of football, about how close they are, and not relate it to anything else, that really is a feat unto itself. That's the kind of job he has done. So now you have yourself positioned where you are, for the most part, consistently in the top 10. You got an important schedule coming up next year. Virginia Tech's playing right now against Kentucky in the Belk Bowl down in Charlotte. And Kentucky's driving the ball right now, down 6. Bud Foster will not be the defensive coordinator next year. This is his last game. Justin Fuente's done a good job of bringing Virginia Tech back because at midseason, a lot of people felt he was in trouble. So Penn State next year will play at Virginia Tech. They will play at Michigan. They've got Ohio State at home. They've got Michigan State at home. And they'll have to play Nebraska on the road. So, Penn State has put itself with so many players coming back. And again, we don't know yet what K.J. Hamler wants to do, or even Shaka Toney or Tariq Castro Fields, for that matter. Okay? But Penn State has positioned itself as one of the top 10 teams in the country now. And I think if Oregon beats, I think the loser of the Rose Bowl is going to fall behind Penn State tomorrow. I think if Baylor loses the Sugar Bowl, they'll fall behind Penn State. Penn State could finish as high as 8th in this whole thing when it's all said and done. But they position themselves to be right there in the fight to get into the college football playoff next year. And I think James Franklin wants to make sure that he has everything in place. He's going to have four starters back on that offensive line. Michael Mennett, who is the linchpin of that group. Mennett is a terrific player. C.J. Thorpe, Mike Miranda, Rasheed Walker, Will Fries, Dez Holmes all back, and then there's Caden Wallace, who gets into the mix. And I hope, sincerely, I mean, that Juice Scruggs is in the mix, too, next year. I think that would be incredible. Juice has been on the comeback trail now for, 11 months now? 10 and a half months? Getting him back would be a big boost. He's, you know, when he was out there practicing, he was, you know, you could tell he had a chance to be a good football player. So that's where you are. And then you add in the tight ends, Pat Freiermuth, Brenton Strange, Zach Kuntz. I think James Franklin wants to have a lot of elements in place here to do this. A big season coming up for Penn State. And as he said afterward, the best is yet to come. And this is not just a one-shot, one-year deal for Penn State. That is the big part of this. This is not the one-shot deal for Penn State. Right? But you want to be able to break through and get through there. It's amazing how Georgia's been to this deal, what, once? One time? And everybody keeps talking about them like, oh, they're awesome, incredible. Georgia's been once. So just getting there one time, as everybody thinks they're elite. Lynn Bowden just threw a touchdown pass. He played wide receiver against Penn State last year. He's also the guy that ran back the punt for a touchdown in the first half in the Citrus Bowl. Incredible athlete. When Wilson got hurt at quarterback, Bowden had played quarterback in high school. And Kentucky now leads 31-30 with the extra point. Now channeling my inner Kevin Harlan.
There you go.
Now, if you flip over to CBS, yes, that is Tony the Tiger in the center of the field. The Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl is being played today. So that's where that's where James is. James feels that making this move is a move that he needs to make to move the program forward toward a national championship. You know, to put this team in a position to make the college football playoff. Kirk Ciarrocca, I've only had one brief conversation with him, but I've gone through what his rep is, what he's done. I've looked at more tape. He is a pro's pro as an offensive coordinator. He's got all those Pennsylvania roots. And this is going to be interesting for Penn State. I feel like Penn State is going to be in a position next year where every weekend, regardless of, it's going to feel like it's a playoff weekend. Keep winning, keep winning, keep winning, keep putting yourself in a position. It's the kind of job James Franklin's done. Now, does that mean some areas have to improve? Of course some areas have to improve. A healthy Sean Clifford, we see what a healthy Sean Clifford does. And he was able to fight his way through. So he showed me, Clifford showed me two things. Number one, he showed me that when he's healthy, he can be one heck of a quarterback. He can really deal. Number two, after he got banged up, he showed me he also has a lot of guts. and he does what it takes to win games. So I know that, you know, people, you know, they've looked at Clifford down the stretch at a couple of games. Look, I understand that. Stats back you up. I understand that. But I don't think anybody has a complete handle outside of the program, you know, what he had to deal with. Talking about physically, I mean, this guy, Clifford to me is a winner. He's just a winner. In every, the fact that he played with the kind of guts he did, that's the clincher that puts me over the top. I mean, you look at even in the game, the bowl game, he ran the ball better in the bowl game. And when he needed to throw the ball, especially on that one drive, I was impressed. You know, the pass to Freiermuth, the 2-point conversion play. Passed, I think it was Daniel George he had one. He had one to Daniel George, one to Freiermuth, then the 2-point conversion of Freiermuth. 2-point conversion of Freiermuth was about as well as you could throw the ball. I mean, tight window. And now Virginia Tech's doing the lateral stuff, and Kentucky has picked it off, and they're going to score. Kentucky is going to win. It was the last play of the game. So Bud Foster, who had carved out a brilliant, brilliant, long career at Virginia Tech as the defensive coordinator, will go out with a loss. Justin Fuente will now replace him. It's going to be a big hire for Justin Fuente. Penn State will play them in September in Blacksburg at Lane Stadium. So, we'll take a break. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, KR Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com, selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Yes. I always love this. ESPN puts out a deal every year about who's the highest paid state employee. All right. And the highest paid state employee, of course, James Franklin, $5.7 million. Governor Tom Wolf makes $194,900. Okay, there's a level of absurdity to this where obviously a 12-year-old did this. Okay, sorry, Charlotte Gibson. But this is inaccurate. Okay, James Franklin is not paid by the state. Okay, James Franklin's paid by the athletic department and whatever combination of Learfield and so forth. You're saying, well, what's the difference between the athletic department? I mean, Penn State's a state-related university. The athletic department of Penn State's autonomous from the university financially. What you bring in is what you pay out. He is not paid by state funds. Now, I don't know whether James Franklin is on SERS, which would make him, obviously, that's the state pension plan, or TIA Craft. I have no idea what he's picked for his pension plan. But, for example, if he's on SERS, the state pension plan, okay, on the state pension plan, okay. But, see, it's articles like this that are just, I'm sorry. Okay? Unless you sit there and actually, instead of doing basic, it's interesting in that, oh, look, Bill Self makes $4 million, Lincoln Riley makes $6.4 million. Dana Altman makes $2.8 million. For Oregon, Chris Peterson makes $4.6 million at Washington. John Calipari, $9.3 million. Nick Saban, $8.9 million. Okay, I mean, everybody wants to know what everybody else makes financially. Okay? I mean, everybody wants to know what other people make. I'll never forget the story about when the Patriot News wanted to find out how much Joe Paterno made. Now, I believe that what they were trying to do was they were trying to use this as an avenue to then get and unlock some of the other salaries. So they used Joe's name as a name. And I think Joe's number came out to what, $564,000 at the time, something like that? Now, that didn't include his Nike contract and so forth. It didn't include that. It's like James' number has the Nike in it, Learfield in it, you know. So Joe's contract at that time would have included, I don't know if it was Learfield or Clear Channel and Nike, which then kicked the number up. But the base salary was $564,000 or something like that. People were shocked that the number was that low. I was speaking at a group, and I think it was in Camp Hill. And at this point, they had not revealed the number. And someone asked me how curious I was as to how much Joe actually made. And I told the group, and I'm serious about it now, I don't care what Joe made. I care what I make. I said, Joe's salary doesn't pay my bills. Joe's salary pays Joe and Sue's bills. That's what I said. I hope he makes a ton of money. I hope all my friends make a ton of money. I hope Matt makes a ton of money. But I'll tell you exactly what I told James Franklin when they announced made the announcement that they had agreed in principle on a new contract. I told him, as a friend, I am personally thrilled for you and for your family. Right? And he told me how much he appreciated that. Because, you know, I mean, I want Jack to make as much money as possible. I want Dick to make as much money as possible. Matt, okay? And every time we see this stuff, I look at it and I'm like, okay, I don't care how much money Nick Saban makes. I care what I make. And this thing about highest paid state employee, what James Franklin makes as opposed to the governor. James Franklin's paid by Penn State Athletics, which is autonomous and does not take money from the university or from the state for salaries. And I don't know what the percentage is in there from Learfield, Nike, whatever it may be. But stuff like this, to me, I look at it, is it interesting? Yeah, but it's absolutely disingenuous. That's the headline story on ESPN today. A nice disingenuous article to end the year.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, as we mentioned. Matt Linegrover's contract will not be renewed, so Penn State is now looking for a new offensive line coach. And James Franklin did announce earlier today that they decided to part ways at this time. Penn State's heading into a big 2020. And they have positioned themselves very well for a big 2020. This will be another important move that James Franklin makes in that step toward
a very important and potentially big 2020 for Nittany Lion football. All right, so let's get the state of the athletic department. In Dallas on Friday, Penn State Vice President for Intercollegiate Athletics, Sandy Barber, sat down, met with the media, answered several key questions about athletics, Beaver Stadium, and the future at Penn State.
First of all, thanks to you all for being here. I know that these bowls are typically at a pretty inconvenient time from a holiday standpoint and a family standpoint. So it does not go lost on us that you guys jumped on planes either Christmas Day or maybe the day after Christmas, or and that you're here, because you play such an important role for us in connecting back to our communities. So I do want to make sure you know how much we appreciate that. Let me talk about the department holistically for a minute, and then obviously we'll get to some more footballs. You just moved my notes.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No. Did you like that?
That was great.
Yeah, okay.
That was comedy right there.
I'll talk more holistically about the department, and then obviously we'll get to the football piece. We've had a really good fall, competitively, whether it be our volleyball, women's volleyball program making the Elite Eight and being having an opportunity to win the Big Ten up to the last night. Men's soccer went back to the NCAA for the first time since 2013, was in the Big Ten hunt the entire regular season. Women's soccer captured the Big Ten title, went deep into the NCAAs. Field hockey was an overtime away from a Big Ten title and getting to the NCAAs. Women's cross country captured the NCAA regional title and finished 18th in the country. And obviously, you've heard all of the stats around what football's doing, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. I had the pleasure of Fort Worth hosted an Olympic senior nationals Olympic qualifier in wrestling here over last weekend, and I had the opportunity to go last Sunday and see a couple of our guys compete. Obviously, our wrestling program continues to be in a great position. Men's basketball, really excited about where they are. Women's basketball under first year coach Carolyn Keeger is laying the foundation for what we will know will be future success. And then we've got a number of our programs: men's and women's gymnastics, men's and women's swimming, fencing, indoor track, that obviously are competing from a collegiate standpoint, but we're also now six plus away from the opening of the opening ceremonies of the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo, and Penn State will certainly take their place there. I had our coaches send me lists of who they believed would be Olympic trials type competitors for obviously the U.S. as well as a number of different countries. I got a list of almost 200 people of current students and alumni that will be vying for spots for their country in the Olympics in Tokyo in 2020. One of the better things that we do. So very, very excited about that. Men's lacrosse, number one in the country in the preseason poll there. So lots of great things there. You know, I never talk about our successes competitively without talking about the academic piece. We have APR data that will be coming out this spring. I can't give you the details, but there will be some really, really good news, some impressive things there from a sport-by-sport standpoint. And then, obviously, in October, we announced that our latest set of NCAA graduation rate, GSR data, established a new historical high at 91% for us. So very proud of that, proud of the opportunity to have the kind of competitive success we have while not only maintaining where Penn State has always been academically, but actually taking that to another level. So it takes a village. Our students obviously deserve the lion's share of the credit, but so do our coaches for bringing the right students to Penn State. And then also the support around them, whether it be our Morgan Academic Center staff, whether it be our faculty, you name it, a lot of help for them. It's in our DNA. Everywhere they look, they get the message that they are expected to compete in the classroom just like they do on the field. So. We always talk about facilities. We have the last three, four, five going into 6 years. Obviously, it's a journey. We continue to raise funds for that. Look at how we can fund different facilities there. Several of our phase one projects, we are working on lead donors that would really kick those projects off. Certainly, you look at we've got I think three facilities that really speak to the importance of facilities. Most of you have probably heard me say this before, but whether it's Panzer, it's Lash, Pagula, the Morgan Academic Center, all of those you have seen. I mean, I'll point to the Morgan Academic Center. I just talked about historic highs in terms of what we're doing academically. I don't think the establishment of the Morgan Academic Center and the new facility that we're in should take a huge amount of credit for that, but it takes some. There's no doubt in my mind that our student athletes walk in that facility and they walk a little taller and they know that we have prioritized academics and they get that message. Obviously, Pagula Ice Arena and what that has done for not only the establishment of both of those programs, but their success. Panzer Stadium, both of our lacrosse coaches have recruited to that vision for several years. It became a reality, and our men's program wins the Big Ten title, goes to the NCAAs, has an NCAA win for the first time ever, and goes to the Final Four. So lots going on there. Basketball and field hockey, those projects will break ground or begin this spring, and as I think I probably created the storm of you-know-what this time last year and talked about that we would start to look at what a Beaver Stadium renovation might look like. That continues to operate in the background. Make no let's make this really, really clear. That is years away. Thank you for laughing, Audrey. That is still years away, but that's such a massive project that it will take that long, and so the planning process needs to go on. There. Those facilities take resources. We need resources to go out and hire, bring talent, bring new talent to Penn State, to retain our very, very best people. So that means that our current streams, we need to make them more robust, and we need to initiate or discover new revenue streams. And so obviously that part of our operation continues to pursue that. It means we need to continually press and look at and find that sweet spot between bringing value to our fans and our customers, making sure we're in the right place from a market standpoint, and also making sure that we can create the kinds of resources that are necessary to fund all of this success that I've just been talking about. So it's a delicate balance, and we've got the best fans in the world. That is one of our most precious points of difference, and I certainly thank them and appreciate them. And we're always looking for. That's why I put number one there. What's the value that we can drive and provide for that for them? Whether that's around concessions or traffic or ingress or egress, and I'm talking specifically, obviously, Beaver Stadium here. But all of those things are things that we have already been examining, obviously, through the new traffic pattern this year. We listen to our fans. We continue to tweak things throughout the year. We'll make more changes and more tweaks that we'll unveil probably in January at some point as we come out with our season ticket renewal. We have, as you know, we have a fan council. We have a Nittany Lion Club development council. We have an ORV fan council as well, and all of those avenues provide us with great input there. So specifically to football, 3 out of the last 4 years, the New Year's Six. We're looking for win number 11 in 2019. Certainly very pleased to extend James's contract, of which you will get details at some point, hopefully early in the new year. He's an exceptional leader. He's a tremendous fit for Penn State. Obviously, the statistics around the wins and the success that we've had, I think, speak very, very loudly and probably could stand on their own, but not at Penn State. It's also those other things that he is, he just called himself an educator in his press conference. Not a lot of football coaches do that. James does it with frequency, and he takes it very, 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 very seriously. Clearly, it's an understatement to say that that we're headed in the right direction. We continue to execute on our commitment as an institution, our commitment to compete. We continue to have conversations, all of us as an administration, whether it's board and President Barron or Scott Sidwell and myself and others within the department, about how we do that. We've kind of settled on in different categories. We need to be top three in the Big Ten and top 10 nationally as kind of a benchmark. I think in many of the things we've done, we're top one or two and top five-ish nationally. But this is all around a commitment to compete, a commitment to compete in everything we do. So. That's a 13-minute, 12-minute, 11-minute opening statement. Now let's get to what you guys want to talk about.
Sandy, the football contract, James's new contract, are we going to be seeing the buyout figure?
Yeah.
In those figures?
That will all come out in the terms and conditions.
And I assume we haven't before seen money that is distributed, extra money to assistant coaches.
That's because this is James's contract.
Yeah, okay.
It's not in there.
Okay, it's not a stipulation. Previously, under Rod Erickson and Dave Joyner, the university made a mandate to have greater transparency. Do you and President Barron share the stipulations that they made? I guess it was in 2012.
We've been very clear that the head football coach's contract will be made public and the athletic director's contract will be made public, and we have lived up to that.
Can I follow up, Sandy, and can you speak to the spirit of the negotiations? I know you can't give details,
sure. But
how much of James's concern was about getting not just paid himself, but also the amount of money needed for facilities upgrades and to take care of the assistant coaches, as Dave was saying?
Yeah, I would say those are two separate things, although obviously they conflate it at some point. As it relates to the assistant coaches, as it relates to facilities, those are conversations we have, frankly, almost daily, certainly weekly, about our ability to compete. And so I would hesitate to say that those ended up being part of the his contract negotiation. Now, don't get me wrong. James is always looking out for his assistants. James is always pushing what's going to help Penn State be competitive. So that is always happening. But those commitments were made by us long ago. As we've talked about from an assistant coach's salary pool, I know some, and I actually don't think it's the media, I think it's more fans, continue to look at a salary figure for one of our more high-profile assistant coaches from like 5 years ago. I can guarantee you that's not what he's making today, but we made a commitment several years ago to upgrading our assistant coaches pool, and for the last 3 years, James and I have and others have sat down, determined a number. He's asked for a number, and that's what he's been given, and this year is no different.
Sandy, for 3 years in a row now, 3 Decembers in a row, James's name has been mentioned with other jobs. As an athletic director, does that get tiresome? Does it, you know, in your position, how do you deal with that? Do you think that this new contract will at least quiet things a year from now?
First of all, I think it's awesome. You always want someone that other people want, because if they don't, you got a different kind of problem. Right? So I think it's fantastic. I love the fact that Penn State has a head coach that a lot of other people want. Contracts are not going to, this contract, any contract, is not going to stop that. And I don't really want it to. I want us to continue to have the kind of success that's going to draw other people to James. But he's a Penn Stater. He's our coach, and he's going to remain that way.
Sandy, obviously.
You had mentioned being top three in the Big Ten and top ten in certain, I guess, financial categories or in...
All categories.
What were those? What are your data points telling you that you are top three and top ten nationally in certain defining characteristics in football?
Assistant coach's salary, personnel, head coach's salary, the kinds of services we're providing for student athletes, academic services, you name it.
What about facilities? And obviously, can you speak to where the design phase is with the football facilities that were announced last year?
Yeah, so as we've clarified a couple of times, the Board of Trustees approved us to hire an architect to design about $70 million of further renovations to Lash. We're about halfway through that. We hope to see something late summer, early fall on that, and then we could decide what's next in the process. But obviously, we're committed to finishing the Lash master plan, as well as practice fields and Haluba, lots of things about. But again, that was not necessarily connected to these contract conversations because we committed to that long ago.
Sandy Barber at her press conference that took place in Dallas on Friday. We'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. We'll have more coming up in the next half hour. That was Sandy Barber's press conference from Friday in Dallas. Glenn Macnow, the Eagle from Eagles Radio, will join us at 4:06 to talk about the playoffs coming up this weekend. And we will go from there. The Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl is being played right now. Arizona State's winning 9-0 over Florida State. Kentucky won the Belk Bowl today. Did so in the waning moments, beating Virginia Tech 37-30. Virginia Tech, Kentucky took the lead in the waning seconds, 31-30. Then on one of those, let's lateral it 28 times to try and see if we can get anywhere. There was a scoop and score by Kentucky to end the game. And Kentucky won it over Virginia Tech. Penn State will play Virginia Tech next season. Okay. Freddie Kitchens out as the head coach of the Browns. Since Jimmy Haslam took over as the owner of the Browns, Baltimore has had one head coach. They've had 9 winning seasons, 1 losing season, and 10 playoff wins. Since Jimmy Haslam took owner over the Browns 12 years ago as owner, the Steelers have had one coach. 8 winning seasons, 8 playoff wins. In the 12 years that Jimmy Haslam's been the owner of the Browns, they've had 8 head coaches. no winning seasons, 12 losing seasons, 9 last place finishes, and no playoff wins. You have to qualify for the playoffs to get a playoff win. Just thought we'd point that out to you.
And now John Dorsey's gone, the GM.
I know. They're going to go all out now. I mean, let's face it. Ed Bouchette is completely right. He tweeted out, Browns firing their head coach is not news. It is news when they don't.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. Playoffs coming up. Eagles starters that are currently out. DeSean Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey, Miles Sanders, Zach Ertz, Nelson Agholor, Lane Johnson, Brandon Brooks, Ronald Darby, Jalen Mills, Malik Jackson. They're all out. Other than that, they're healthy and set to go for Seattle.